From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
We welcome you to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. As Dr. Cairns continues this series of studies in the book of Acts, he brings the final portion of a message entitled, The Prayer of Power and the Power of Prayer. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First of all, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Morning by Morning.
This morning's text comes from Jonah chapter 2, verse 9. Salvation is of the Lord. Salvation is the work of God. It is He alone who quickens the soul dead in trespasses and sins, and it is He also who maintains the soul in spiritual life. He is both Alpha and Omega. Salvation is of the Lord. If I am prayerful, God makes me prayerful. If I have graces, they are God's gifts to me. If I hold on in a consistent life, it is because He upholds me with His own hand. I do nothing whatever towards my own preservation, except what God Himself first does in me. Whatever I have, all of my goodness is of the Lord alone. Wherein I sin, that is my own. But wherein I act rightly, that is of God, wholly and completely. If I have repulsed a spiritual enemy, the Lord's strength nerved my arm. Do I live before men a consecrated life? It is not I, but Christ who liveth in me. Am I sanctified? I did not cleanse myself. God's Holy Spirit sanctifies me. Am I weaned from the world? I am weaned by God's chastisement sanctified to my good. Do I grow in knowledge? The great instructor teaches me. All my jewels were fashioned by heavenly art. I find in God all that I want, but I find in myself nothing but sin and misery. He only is my rock and my salvation. Do I feed on the Word? That Word would be no food for me unless the Lord made it food for my soul and helped me to feed upon it. Do I live on the manna which comes down from heaven? What is that manna but Jesus Christ Himself incarnate, whose body and whose blood I eat and drink? Am I continually receiving fresh increase of strength? Where do I gather my might? My help cometh from heaven's hills. Without Jesus, I can do nothing. As a branch cannot bring forth fruit except it abide in the vine, no more can I except I abide in Him. What Jonah learned in the great deep, let me learn this morning in my closet. Salvation is of the Lord.
Regular Bible reading is an essential part of the Christian life. In the Holy Scriptures, God has given us everything we need to know for salvation, for spiritual growth, and for the many issues and problems that believers face. However, many Christians do not profit from the Bible as they should because they have no guidance as to how to study it. Several ministers of the Free Presbyterian Church, including Dr. Alan Cairns, have produced a brief but very helpful brochure called 10 Commandments of Bible Study, which will help you to gain much blessing from your time in the Holy Scriptures. The method is designed to help believers achieve a comprehensive knowledge of the chapter contents of the Scriptures and to enable them to use that knowledge to guide and quicken them in their personal prayer lives. For a free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study, simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. If you prefer regular mail, simply write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Increase your knowledge of God's Word by requesting your free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study. As he continues this series of studies in the book of Acts, Dr. Cairns is focusing on verse 5 of chapter 12. Peter was therefore kept in prison, but prayer was made of the church without ceasing unto God for him. Here we find one of the great turning points in Christian experience, but prayer. In the course of the message, Dr. Cairns has been dealing with the tremendous power available to God's people through prayer. From this passage, we've seen that powerful prayer is fervent in its intensity. It is marked by diligence, directness, and reverence. It is also definite in what it seeks from God. In explaining the power of prayer, Dr. Cairns is emphasizing that true prayer must be marked by the power of the Holy Spirit. This is the kind of praying that brings divine, direct intervention into the affairs of men. Its effects are felt in heaven and on earth. It sets prisoners free, and it defeats the enemies. May the Lord teach us to pray like this. Now to conclude this message, the prayer of power and the power of prayer, here is Dr. Cairns.
What I'm saying this morning is this. I believe in revival. I believe in the power of the Holy Ghost. It was a cardinal point of what is known as the Apostles' Creed. To believe in the Holy Ghost. My friend, it's not just as a point in a creed. I believe in the person and in the working and in the demonstration of the Holy Ghost. And it's time in our praying that we began to cry to the Lord that He would give us this power of prayer working. Oh, it is divine intervention. It is the supernatural walking in conjunction with the natural. It is the outworking of the purpose of God. You know, I don't know whether the church stopped to think of it or not, but Peter couldn't die under Herod. It was impossible that Peter be murdered under Herod.
In John 21, verses 18 and 19, the Lord Jesus had stated his direct purpose in unmistakable terms that Peter would live to be an old man, and not until he was old would he die a martyr's death. Now, by anybody's reckoning, Peter was not yet an old man. And no matter what Herod did, Peter couldn't die. God's purpose was that he wouldn't die. But my friend, don't you see this? Don't you see this? A belief in the eternal, predetermining, predestinating purpose of God goes hand in hand with a belief in prevailing prayer. There are so many people and they say, you Calvinists? Yeah, we're Calvinists. You believe in predestination? Yes, I believe in predestination. Why? Because the Bible teaches it. Do you understand it? No, but the Bible teaches it. So I believe it. Well, why do you pray then? My friend, let me put the shoe in the other foot and say, if I didn't believe in the eternal, foreordaining, predestinating purpose of God, I couldn't pray. It is because God has a purpose, it is because God has a plan, that I can pray and I can say, Lord, work out your purpose and defeat the devil. If I were an Arminian, and I believed that it was all up to the free will of man, and that God had no such purpose, and nothing was set beforehand, why would I pray to God? Why would I not get down and pray to men? I don't pray to men, I pray to God, because I believe that supervising all the affairs of men, there is the mighty purpose of our God. What is the power of prayer? The power of prayer is the power that brings a believer into the center of God's will and has him praying in the line of God's purpose. My friend, that's true prayer. And I tell you, unless we pray in God's will, we're not praying at all. That's the essence of this power. Just a word about the extent of the power of prayer. It's the widest possible extent. It's felt in heaven, and it's felt in earth. And it's felt even in hell. It's felt in the dungeon, and it's felt in the heart of the dictator. It's a power over men, and you'll see it's a power even over material objects. It's a power over individuals, and a power over nations. That's the extent of it. In our Bible reading, the extent of the power of prayer is very clearly set forth. It's surprising in its extent. Now here's a word for us. These people in the house of the mother of John Mark, as you read later in the chapter, they were praying. And when the answer to prayer came knocking on their door, they didn't believe it. And when the young damsel Rhoda came, isn't it wonderful that it was a young girl, and she had the faith to believe. When God gave the answer, she didn't argue. She was not sophisticated enough to come up with some other explanation, so she simply said, this is God answering prayer. And she went in, didn't even open the door for poor Peter. She was so full of joy. But, do you hear all those experienced Christians? Shut up, you're just a little girl. You're mad! That's what they said. You're mad! It's his angel! Now, didn't that sound spiritual? Oh, it's always good when you can give a spiritual explanation. They weren't spiritual in this particular instance. They were carnal. And they were not giving the Lord the glory, for the Lord had answered prayer. And they were surprised. Let me tell you, friend, this is an example of that great truth in Ephesians 3 and 20. He is able to do far exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think. And I tell you, let's keep praying. Let's be diligent and determined and direct and definite and dynamic in our praying. Because when God answers prayer for this congregation, I want to tell you something. He's going to surprise even the ones who think they have exercised great faith. Surprising in its extent. It's found also in setting the prisoner free. You see that? Peter in the dungeon. Set free. Psalm 146, verse 7. The Lord looseth the prisoner. What an encouragement for us to pray on. Peter here speaks to me as a picture of the people of God, so often bound by the enemy, incarcerated, confined. My, that's a picture even of our own church. Confined. Now, there's only one thing that will burst our confinement wide open. And it's the power of God in answer to prayer. Look, we're never going to organize our way into blessing. We're never going to pay our way into blessing. But thank God, by His enabling grace, we can pray our way into blessing. And of course, Peter is also a parable of the sinner in the dungeon. Charles Wesley, in that great hymn, "And Can It Be That I Should Gain an Interest in the Savior's Blood," had Peter in mind in Acts 12, when he penned those immortal words, "Long my imprisoned spirit lay, fast bound in sin and nature's night. Thine eye diffused a quickening ray. I woke, the dungeon flamed with light." I love the words, "My chains fell off. My heart was free. I rose, went forth, and followed thee." My friend, there are prisoners in your family, prisoners in mine. There are people in this meeting this morning, and they think they're free, and they're slaves of the devil and slaves of sin. I want to tell you, we can see them set free by the power of God in answer to prayer. The power of prayer extends to setting the prisoners free. And I'm glad, later in the chapter, verse 23, it extends to slaying the enemy. Herod, smitten and eaten up of worms. You know, so many Christians say, "Why don't you bigoted Free Presbyterians?" Although in this part of the world, I'm glad they include some Baptists as well. Some of them are bigots too. The Lord bless them. You know how bigot came about. We're told the etymology of the word is the people who said, "By God, by the grace of God, I'll never give in." Well, if that's the etymology of bigot, the Lord make me a bigot. But they say, "Why don't you bigots just stick at preaching a nice, simple gospel? Why do you have to have controversy? Why do you have to keep raising the voice against Romanism and liberalism and modernism and all the other isms?" There is a very specious argument that the gospel does not need to be defended. If that were so, the Holy Ghost would need to rewrite the Bible, for He inspired Paul to say, "I am set for the defense of the gospel." My friend, let me tell you, I believe in preaching the gospel. I believe in preaching the whole counsel of God. I believe in standing where that Bible stands, whoever likes it or whoever doesn't like it. I have often said, and this is, I believe, a secret, and if any of you are studying for the ministry, you make sure of it. I believe that I am not employed by a congregation. And if by preaching that Bible I lose my position tomorrow, I lose my position tomorrow. I'd rather gather the garbage around Greenville than to be a liar or a hypocrite or a betrayer of the Word of God. Let me tell you, why don't you just stick at preaching the gospel? I'll tell you why. I'll tell you why. Because when we preach and when we pray and get the power of God, getting sinners saved is one part of the answer, but slaying the power of the devil that ensnares sinners and will keep working on sinners and damn other sinners, slaying that power and that enemy is also part of the work of God in answer to prayer. And I'm praying. This is why the Free Presbyterian Church, let me clear the decks for you. This is why the Free Presbyterian Church is in Greenville. Have a good look around you this morning. You see a handful of people, and in the eyes of the world, they're fools. But I want to tell you why we're here. We're not here to have a nice, comfortable little church where we can say, "Well, now we're Free Presbyterians and we have a nice little congregation and we have a nice little fellowship and we can pay our way." We're not here for that. We're here that ultimately, in Greenville, beyond Greenville, through our radio ministry, through our evangelistic outreach, through the young people that God is going to call and send out from this church, through congregations that God is going to build from this first free church in this state, I want to tell you there is going to be a slaughter of every power of hell. There's going to be a slaughter of liberalism, a slaughter of modernism, a slaughter of Romanism. May I look forward to seeing Roman Catholics saved, modernistic Protestants saved, Unitarians saved. I look forward to seeing God smite the Herods of this day. Can God do it? Can He do it? If I didn't believe God could do that, I would never preach again. If I didn't believe God could do that, I would shut the Bible and say, well, I'll wait till I go to heaven, for there's no use doing anything down here. But I believe in the power of prayer that sets the prisoner free, that smites the enemy. It's the kind of power I'm looking for. And the power that spreads the word. Verse 24 and 25, the word of God grew and multiplied. Paul and Barnabas went out with John Mark, spreading of the word. Ah, my friend, when you see the extent of the power of prayer, and when you see, although I'm not going to preach in this, I mentioned it last Sabbath morning, the effects of the power of prayer, the Lord is glorified, the saints are edified, and thank God the enemy's terrified. When you see the extent and the effects of the power of prayer, isn't it amazing that we pray so little? Isn't it amazing that with all the Bible teaches us about the power of prayer, we do not pray the prayer of power? Chrysostom, the man who was known as the golden mouth preacher, once said, God can refuse nothing to a praying congregation. He was right. God can refuse nothing to a praying congregation. The challenge of Acts chapter 12 and verse 5 is that this church stops playing and starts praying. May God give us that burden. May God give us the grace to pray so as to get answers. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Let's all pray. Father in heaven, bless thy word to every heart. Write it indelibly upon the fleshy tables of our heart. Lord, make us a praying people. O Lord, we pray, help us to pray through. We ask earnestly for the grace to pray the prayer of power. And we know then we will see the power of prayer. O Spirit of God, come upon us. We pray as Solomon did, come thou south wind, and blow upon my garden. O wind of God, come sweeping o'er us, fill thy church with life and power. Hear us now, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, We invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.